Seated, thank you.
Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, please. Just like to share a practical lesson tonight on leading people from where they are to where they should be. And here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. The Bible teaches us that let us consider one another. We need to be considerate of one another. We need to be mindful of one another. We need to be concerned about one another. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Let's bow for prayer. O God, please teach us from your word this evening. Help us, O God, to help others. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. Leading people from where they are to where they should be. And all of us have a responsibility to endeavour to do that, to lead people from where they are to where they should be. And it begins by you and I considering one another, being mindful of one another, thinking about one another, being concerned about one another. And the Bible teaches us here, let us consider one another to do what? To provoke. Not to anger, but to provoke or to stir, encourage, to provoke unto love and to good works. So we need to consider one another to provoke, to encourage one another, to love. The Lord Jesus said, all the commandments hang on to. That is, love God with all your being and love thy neighbour as thyself. So we need to consider one another, encourage one another to love God and to love one another, to respond biblically towards one another. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We're not saved by works, but we are saved unto good works, as we looked at this morning. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So we are to encourage one another to love. To love who? To love God. We are to encourage one another to love God, to love one another. How do we flesh out our love for God towards others? We are to provoke one another to love and to good works. We should be encouraging, stirring one another up to do works that are pleasing to the Lord. And the Bible goes on to say in verse 25 that in the context of the New Testament church, this can be achieved. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and there always will be, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we have a responsibility to encourage one another. We have a responsibility to provoke one another, not to anger, but to provoke one another unto love and to good works. We need to prod people spiritually. We need to try to ignite people spiritually. And this is our responsibility as Bible-believing Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. So we are to consider one another, we are to exhort one another, to provoke unto love and to good works. And here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, the Bible reads, now we exhort you Or we literally beseech you, we beg of you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. So God encourages us in the Word of God. He begs of us that we would warn them that are unruly, that we would literally rebuke. That word warn them means to rebuke those that are not right. We have a responsibility towards one another to encourage people to live right, to live a righteous life. And then the word comfort there means to encourage, comfort the feeble-minded, comfort those that are discouraged. All of us go through times of difficulty, times of testings, low times, and every now and again we have a high time. But we need to consider one another and seek to encourage one another and even be prepared to rebuke one another in order to that we would all live right. And then the verse goes on to say, support the weak, strengthen the feeble, literally, that's what it means. Strengthen the feeble. All of us from time to time need to be held up, to be supported. So we have a responsibility to warn, to rebuke. We have a responsibility to comfort, to encourage. We have a responsibility to support, to strengthen those that are feeling low. And we have a responsibility to be patient one with another. Patience takes work. And you and I need to be spirit-filled to be patient with one another. What about Galatians chapter 6, please? Go to Galatians chapter 6. In verses 1 and 2, Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. The Bible reads, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore or mend such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, being careful, lest thou also be tempted. So we need to look out for one another. We need to consider one another. We need to provoke one another to love and to good works. We need to encourage one another. We need to strengthen, rebuke, encourage where it's needed. We need to be patient one with another. And here the Bible teaches us, if you note a brother in Christ that is overtaken in a fault, they are deliberately disobeying the word of God, then you have a responsibility before Almighty God to challenge them, to exhort them, to encourage them. Hey, you are on the wrong path, and I love you, and I want to exhort you to get back on track for God's glory. And the Bible teaches us that we need to guard our hearts. We have to do so not out of a spirit of pride, but with a spirit of meekness, considering and being mindful that if I'm not careful, by the grace of God, that's not me. And so we have a responsibility towards one another. And there are times that you and I need to be pulling one another back into line. I, as your pastor, it's part of my job. But I can't do it 24/7. And thank God the scriptures don't read pastors, only pastors. If a man be overtaken with a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. It's not what it teaches. Now, a pastor is part of the brotherhood. So I'm still a Christian. So I have a responsibility, of course, as a shepherd to pursue sheep. But you and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, have a responsibility to look out for one another. And if we see that some are straying, then we need to reach out to them, as opposed to just stand back and just, I'll let pastor do that one. That's a bit of a tough one. I don't want to go there. You and I have a responsibility. And if God gives us the privilege of a relationship, then you have a responsibility within that relationship. That if you note a brother or sister in Christ that's not where they should be, we need to lovingly, spiritually, that is under the guidance of the Spirit, not full of the flesh, pursue them and seek to encourage them to come back and get back on track for the Lord. That's our responsibility as Bible-believing Christians. In other words, we need to be accountable one towards another, and we need to hold one another accountable for the way they live or for the way they're not living. And you and I have that privilege to lead people from where they are to where they should be. I'm so thankful that from time to time I've had people in my life that have knocked me back into line, especially in those early days of my Christian walk. I'm so thankful for a youth pastor and a pastor that just knocked me back into line. And we all need it, because all we like sheep have what? Gone astray, and we continue to go astray. You know, nobody's exempt. And we need to be leading people from where they are to where they should be. We need to be considering one another, provoking one another to love and to good works. We need to be warning, we need to be comforting, we need to be strengthening, we need to be patient one with another. And if we note that a brother or sister in Christ is not where they should be, they're overtaken in a fault. Ye which are spiritual, restore, seek to mend them in a spirit of meekness, but doing so carefully, cautiously. See, Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2 reads, bear ye one another's burdens, for so fulfill the law of Christ. So this is in reference to restoration, being concerned about that brother in Christ, that sister in Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So let me encourage you to look out for one another. The year has just begun. We've had a horrific 2 years. And Lord willing, we are getting back into routine, I trust and pray. And there are many of God's people that are struggling. There are many of God's people that should be here in church that are not here in church. And they're not regularly in church. And they're not serving God like they once did. So don't wait for pastors to track them down. Rest assured he will eventually try. But you have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. Can you believe it that pastors from time to time visits people and they won't answer the door? Can you believe that sometimes pastor rings people and they don't even ring back? That's so rude. Leaves messages, they won't ring back. Yes, so I need you to look out for others. And if there's somebody in your life that is not living right, make sure you guard your spirit, but reach out to them and challenge them lovingly to get back on track for God's glory. Let me just share a couple of principles on how we can lead people from where they are to where they should be. Need to be considering one another. We can begin by praying for people, praying for these individuals. That's elementary. A lasting work in a person's life. can be accomplished in and through prayer. Note what the Apostle Paul said there in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. A man that was given to much prayer and praying for believers. There in Colossians chapter 1 verses 9 and 10. It reads, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with a knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." What a wonderful prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed on the behalf of these believers within this area. This New Testament church. He prayed for them to be filled with a knowledge of God and his will, and that they might walk worthy of the Lord and pleasing to the Lord and be fruitful and increasing in their personal relationship with the Lord. We can consider one another, provoke one another unto love and to good works by praying one for another. We can lead people from where they are to where they should be by praying for them. Praying for them. We also need to be understanding. Seek to be understanding. Now, I love that passage there in the Gospel of John chapter 8. The Gospel of John chapter 8. Where the Lord Jesus dealt with an immoral woman. And this is what he said to this woman that was caught in adultery. In John chapter 8, verse number 11. The Lord Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Go and sin no more. The Lord Jesus didn't come to condemn. The Lord Jesus came to save. The Lord Jesus came to deliver. The Lord Jesus came to forgive. And it's very, very important that we are understanding and we seek to lead people from where they are to where they should be without being condemning, but exhorting them, provoking them unto love and to good works. And we need to seize every God-given opportunity to do so. I love the example of the Lord Jesus there in John chapter 3. Go to John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. In verses 1 to 3, the Bible teaches us John, the Gospel of John, the third chapter, there was a man of the Pharisee, verse 1, whose name Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Timing is everything in what we say, in what we do, providing guidance and giving suggestions or counsel. And the Lord Jesus here seizes an opportunity to preach to this religious man how he could enter into the kingdom of God. And you and I, as we seek to lead people from where they are to where they should be, we should seize those opportunities that God has given to us. See, you have relationships that I do not have with certain individuals. So therefore, you have influence. And you can have impact where they might not listen to me, they might listen to you because of your relationship with them. And the Lord Jesus here in John chapter 3, this religious man comes to him by night. He's not wanting to be noticed. So he comes at night with his questions, wanting to discuss the issue of miracles. And Jesus said, We're not going to talk about miracles. We're going to talk about the miraculous birth, that you need to be born again if you want to see and enter into the kingdom of God. So if we're to lead people from where they are to where they should be, we need to be mindful that God is the God of the open door. And there's a reason why you have a relationship with that individual, and you have the potential to encourage that individual, provoke them unto love and to good works. Many of these opportunities come informally to reach out to others. And we need to seize those opportunities. And I'm so thankful that God is the God of the open door. And if we're to lead people from where they are to where they should be, we need to make sure that we are that example before them. I love the words of the great Apostle Paul there in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1. It reads, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. In verse number 12, the Bible reads, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word." In what you say in conversation, that's in reference to the way you live. In charity, in your demonstration of an outflow of unconditional love, in your spirit, in your attitude, mindset, in faith, your faith in God, your faith in the Word of God, and in purity. It's so critically important if you and I are to lead people from where they are to where they should be. We need to be markers. We need to be examples. The Apostle Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." You and I need to be that example of what it means to honor Christ and live for Christ, if we're going to lead people from where they are to where they should be. And we need to be prepared to teach and impart the Word of God. There in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2. It reads, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." So we need to pass on what we've learnt and to take what we've learnt and use it for God's glory and to encourage those that need to grow in Christ's likeness. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. As it read there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, that we need to display patience towards all men. It takes time to grow. And here in 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse number 3, it reads, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." God has given us all that we need to live out the Christian life and to live a godly Christian life. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And then it goes on to say in verse number 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." So God has given us precious promises to live the life of a Christ-honoring Christian, whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped or been delivered the corruption that is in the world through lust. Then it talks about, besides this, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Then note the promise then, verse 8. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see far off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence and make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Do what things? Add to your faith virtue. In other words, he sums it up there in chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So we need to teach and encourage one another in the Word of God. And you have the opportunity and privilege, whether it be informally or formally from time to time, to exhort God's people to go on for the Lord. And to encourage them. They need to add to their faith. They need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm mindful of the great Apostle Paul, of how he was converted and went on to serve his God. And he became the great Apostle Paul. Why? Because a man by the name of Barnabas was prepared to invest, was prepared to take him from where he was at to where he needed to be. Let's review. Let's note here in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Please, 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1. In verses 11 and 12 it reads, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. The Apostle Paul gives testimony of how God had gloriously saved him and put him into the ministry. He goes on to say in verse number 13, concerning his past life, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy. I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This reprobate, this blasphemer, this violent, angry man, this religious zealot, was soundly converted by the grace of God. And a man by the name of Barnabas was willing to invest in this man and to lead him from where he was at to where he needed to be. If you go back into the book of Acts, we note there in chapter 9, please. Acts chapter 9. In verses 5 and 6, we have his testimony. Acts And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Then note there in verse number 27, people were a bit skeptical about whether he'd really been converted. People were afraid of him. Some doubted whether this man is really genuine. But not Barnabas, note then verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he, that is Saul of Tarsus, had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So Barnabas took him under his wing and defended him and said, Hey, this man's got a testimony. He was converted. And he's given evidence of his conversion because he preached the gospel there in Damascus. And then we go to chapter 11 of the book of Acts. So Barnabas draws alongside Saul of Tarsus and begins to invest in him and encourage him. He encourages him. He instructs him. He disciples him. And the Bible teaches us here in Acts 11:25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So we see Barnabas investing in Saul of Tarsus. Invested initially in his spiritual growth, and here God leads him to seek him out and to bring him back in this wonderful church there in Antioch, Syria. And there he grows in his faith and he's taught to minister. And then we read in chapter 13, in verse number 2, that as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called him. So we have a wonderful example here of one that took a young believer and led him from where he was at to where he could be. And you and I can do likewise. There are people within your circle of influence that you can reach out to. And that individual within your circle of influence might be the next Apostle Paul. Could be the next Apostle Paul. But you and I need to reach out and seek to encourage. We need to lead people from where they are to where they should be. And this is our responsibility as parents, is it not, with our children? And beloved, may I remind you, it's our responsibility as brothers and sisters in Christ. All of us from time to time need some prodding. We need to be provoked unto love and to good works. I'm so thankful for those in my life that have given me a good old holy kick from time to time and have set me straight and right for God's glory. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for those times that Pastor Hester would call me into his office. And he had long fingers, you know. And he would say his piece. Not because he hated me, but because he loved me. And he wanted the best for me. And I'm so thankful for Pastor Matthews. He didn't have long fingers, but he had piercing eyes. And I'm so thankful for men that were willing to risk their relationship to better me for God's glory. And I would not be who I am today if it wasn't for people like Pastor Matthews and Pastor Hester and Pastor Ball and Pastor Moniford, my youth pastors, that were willing to reach out and to lead me from where I was to where I needed to be. And church family, we need to do likewise. We need to provoke one another to love and to good works. All of us need to be encouraged to do right. All of us need to be lifted from time to time. All of us at times feel a little bit weak, and all of us can potentially stray. And we need to hold one another accountable and seek to encourage one another to get back on the narrow path. So let me encourage you this evening, as we begin this new year, to consider one another. Look beyond yourself. Consider those around you. And be mindful that you and I have a responsibility to encourage one another spiritually, to exhort one another, and maybe even kick one another in the spirit, and or to replace one another back on track. We all need it, and we all need to reach out to one another for God's glory. And I think of the great apostle Paul. I think of this man that was violent, aggressive, religious zealot, and how God had saved him. And people were skeptical, and I don't blame them, because probably I would have been one of those that would question whether is this guy really fair dinkum. But not Barnabas. He had the discernment to know this guy has a salvation testimony. This guy has been caught witnessing. Something's happened. And he was willing to reach out and invest in him and to lead him from where he was at. I reckon he was pretty rough around the edges. I really do. And to lead him from where he was at to where he needed to be. And that's your responsibility. That's my responsibility. So as we enter this new year, as far as ministry is concerned, let's look out for others, brethren. There are some that are not here that should be here. Are you aware of that? Talk to me. Yeah. Why not you ring them? Hey, we miss you. What's happening? Where are you? We love you. The Bible says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Why aren't you in church? That's what we need. And you have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to reach out to others. And may God help us to provoke one another to love and to good works. Not provoke one another to anger, but to love and to good works. Exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's bow for prayer.